you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 2 as we go through the book of 1 John chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I started our Wednesday night service with this illustration, and I don't want you to miss it, so I'll give it to you as well. A young man was hired to be a lumberjack for a forestry company. On his first day, he showed exceptional performance by cutting down 15 trees. His boss was pleased at his energy and stamina. The average lumberjack cuts down about 10 trees a day, and so it appeared that he was on his way to be the top lumberjack of the company. The next day, on the job with the company's owner watching, he cut down 16 trees. He was surely on his way to be the boss's favorite. However, after the first week of chopping, his numbers began to decline. Instead of producing 16 trees, he fell to 12, and as time went by, his numbers continued to decrease, even though he was chopping longer, chopping harder, but it seemed to no avail. The owner asked to see the young man in his office at the end of the day. The young man was in fear that he would surely be fired and lose his job at this point. As he entered the boss's office, to his surprise, his boss had a smile on his face and inviting him to come in and have a seat. "What seems to be the problem, young man?" he asked. "You started out with such energy and potential, but your production has declined." And the young man, puzzled by his performance, said, "I'm not sure. I'm chopping longer and chopping harder, but my production continues to decrease." The boss looked at the young man with a smile and asked him this one simple question: "When was the last time you sharpened your axe?" The young man raised his head and said, "I haven't had time to sharpen my axe. I'm working too hard and too long to sharpen my axe." And the boss said, "And that's your problem. You see, you'll never be able to effectively cut down a tree with a dull axe. Axes are supposed to be sharp to do its intended purpose, and we need to be sharpened in our scriptures and effectively accomplish our intended purpose as well." And so this morning I pray that we would be able to sharpen as iron sharpens iron, sharpen our axes by engaging in the Word of God so that we can be more effective in our service to God. You see, we can be up here doing and doing and doing and doing and doing and not be effective at all. Why? Well, because our heart's not with the Lord. You ever meet somebody, they're real nervous and, oh, you know, that you feed upon that, right? You get nervous, right? Or they're angry, right? Oh, I can't believe you start to get angry, right? Or they're at total peace and you're like, oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, peace. That's iron sharpening iron. And so we don't want to walk around with dull axes in our Christian walk. We want to be sharp, right? And so that's our prayer today. 1 John chapter 2. We left off last week at verse 15. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, this is a pretty strong statement, and we'd be better give great attention to this. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hold to one and despise the other, or he will love the one and despise the other." You can't serve God and mammon. So you cannot, not that you should not, but it says that you cannot serve the two. And mammon or money is the worldly materialistic things, that monetary system of the world. You can't serve them both. And there's many people who have set out, yeah, you know, I could go out into the world and make a lot of money. I could give more money to God, right? Makes sense. However, the Bible talks about being unevenly yoked. And if you're serving, you can't serve the two. One's going to bring you down, right? And so there's this world system. It's set up to distract us. It's set up to influence us. It's set up to deceive us. It's a monetary system. It's to gain. It's to get, right? You step over people to get ahead in corporate system, in the worldly system, right? It's deception. We see the monetary worldly system happening in the church. I heard this guy this morning, I don't know his name, on television. It was The Keys of David was the name of the program. And he was pushing this other small book that he took out of Revelation, and he's saying this book that we've written now is the best book ever written, second to the Bible, and you need this book to learn what the Bible means. Really? And it's free to you. Why is it free to you? Because you're going to give them all your information, and they're going to contact you day in and day out. You're going to give them your email address, your phone number, your mailing address, and now you've just become a target for them to go after you for funds and money. Listen, it is the Word of God, period, that we need. And he spent a half an hour, and he didn't give his name. And even on the thing, it was an older man, and he was stumbling on his words too, because he was lying. He was trying to set up this thing, and you could just say, this guy's lying. He's outright lying. In the name of Jesus, he's lying. He's pillaging the people to get money from them. I was given this bracelet. It looks expensive, right? It's not silver. It's magnets, actually. So this has been out there for a long time. It's nothing new under the sun. So I was given this to help with my joints. It looks good, right? But it's not expensive. It's a gimmick. I believe it's a gimmick. I don't feel any better since I put it on. Every time I walk by another magnet, my arm gets stuck like this. So somebody's pushing his, hey, you know, there's some doctor who's not really making it in the industry. They put his name up there and pay him some money. And he says, you know, Dr. So-and-so says this is working for you. And everybody goes out and buys it. It's a gimmick. It's a worldly system. And listen, it is run by Satan. Now, the Lord allows. Nothing gets past the Lord. But we have a president today who has given our enemies $400 million. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? He says we've owed them this money, but why would you be the one to make sure they get it? Why would you do that? You see, it's a worldly system. Satan's in control. Things are going down the hill, right? Things are not falling apart. They're falling in place. Don't be deceived by all the gifts and giveaways that they're giving you to stay in power. Now, I'm not promoting one party or another from this pulpit. Jesus is the answer, not the next president. But we know the worldly system is going down the tubes, and we see them like puppets. Oh, the Muslims is a peaceful doctrine. It's not. If you haven't read it, you don't know any better, right? Good people saying stupid things, then they're puppets in Satan's hand. It's the worldly system. You'll see them get up there one after another. Oh, it's a peaceful doctrine. It is not a peace. The Quran is not a peaceful doctrine. And I'm not going to get into much detail in this sermon, but we will as we get into Revelation. So don't be fooled by the worldly system and all these talking heads that get on the radio and tell you what you should know. You should know the Scripture, and the Holy Spirit would guide your conscience and your mind and give you the peace of Christ that would transcend all understanding, right? As we go forward. But we need to be wise. So do not love the worldly system. Now, John defines for us what this meaning by the world, he says in verse 16. For all that is in the world... And now he defines it, so it's not the beauty of the world, because God created the world. He's speaking of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And so the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So when Satan came to tempt, or when he comes to tempt you, you can be sure that that temptation will fall in one of these three categories. Either it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Those are the three areas where Satan will attack, and there's many different categories within those areas. But he uses the method of deception, and I put this on my Facebook. The method of deceptions is two categories. Number one, doubt. Did God really say? What was the first thing that he says to Eve? He questions the Word of God. He questions the Word of God, right? Doubt. Did God really say? God wants me to be happy. I've sat in counseling sessions where one spouse would say, God wants him to leave his wife so that he can go out with this other girl because God wants him to be happy. And he believed this. Deception. Lust of the flesh, right? Pride of life. The second thing is deny. Number one, doubt. Did God really say? Number two, deny. You shall surely not die, right? Doubt and deny. And people live in these categories. They doubt all the time the Word of God. Oh, I don't believe that. Really? How much do you really know? And when we look at the span of Scripture written hundreds or thousands of years apart, 700 years before it happens, they say Jesus Christ is going to die, where he's going to die, how he's going to die, that Judas is going to trade in these coins for his death, that his bones wouldn't be broken. Amazing, right? How does that happen? We know better? No, we don't know better. God knows better. And that's why he was able to say hundreds of years before crucifixion was ever even invented how Jesus would die. How? He's sovereign. He is God. He is God Almighty. And that's the one we need to put our trust in. Not the banking system, not the worldly system, not our jobs, not even ourselves, not even our own talents and abilities. We need to totally trust in the Lord. Wouldn't you agree? In the Garden of Eden, when he came to Eve there in the garden, has God really said, you cannot eat of these trees of the garden? And she said, yes, all except the one in the midst of the garden. And God said that we should not eat of it, for in the day that we eat of it, we shall surely die. What does Satan say? No, you surely won't die. God knows that if you eat of that tree, you would be as wise as God, right? The pride of life. I want to be like God. I want to be wise. You know, I really got to make this deal, so I'll lie about it to make it happen, and my boss will think I'm a great salesman, but he doesn't know what I did, but God does. God knows. Now, we could have gone out and spent $26,000, emptied the bank account to put this antenna up there because I have to have a radio station. We could have done that, right? In the flesh. But walking in the Spirit, Lord, I don't understand why you closed that door, but I'm going to wait upon you. You know more than me. And this came out of the blue. The accountant is Ron Burr's accountant, and he's on the board at John Knox Village. So there's the connection. The board meets. They agree. They tell the CEO. CEO is excited about it. We meet with him. Come to find out, the director of that place for 30 years is my neighbor, lives right across the street from me. How did all this happen? Now, I could have ran out with the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. We got to make it big at Calvary Pompano. Everybody got us know we're on the air now, right? No. This is the Lord's church. I'm the Lord's servant. If he closes the door, I'm not kicking it open. I'm going to trust and wait because I don't know everything. And I don't know what tomorrow holds. And I don't know what would have happened had we got into that deal with them. But I know God is sovereign. And it might not seem like that sometimes. Lord, how in the world could this happen? But he's the one who says all things work for the good. Those who love God, those are called according to his purpose. Not some things, but all things. How could this be? I don't know. I'm not God. He hasn't revealed it to us yet. I could have said that last week, right? But now he's revealed to us. Hey, I got another plan that might be even, well, we know it's better for us, right? And we never even thought about the opportunities that are attached to this, which I'll, as we go forward, fill you all in on that. So God's in control. He's sovereign. Now, what's the difference between the radio station and your life? Absolutely nothing. God is sovereign over your life too, right? And he wants the best for you. And he wants you to follow him, wait upon him, trust in him, depend upon him. We're told to come to him with childlike faith. A child is dependent upon his mother. A child cannot feed himself, cannot protect himself, doesn't know right from wrong, can't do anything. That's the faith that he wants us to have in him. A childlike faith, a dependent faith upon him. Is that a reflection of your life, or are you going to make it happen? And if you're trying to make it happen, let me tell you, you might not be happy at the results of that. It might not bring you back. It may bring you back, you know, 10 steps when you were way ahead of yourself. Now, that doesn't mean God's kicking you out of the kingdom. I'm not saying that. But your trust in him may save some pitfalls that you might not have gone into had you not stepped out on your own. Pride of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He's trying to protect himself to keep you from becoming like God. This is what Satan told Eve. God doesn't want you to have fun. He doesn't want you to go out and fool around because that's fun. He doesn't want you to do that. No, there's all kinds of repercussions for that. And he knows better. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, we like to put our own connotations in how God talks and what he says, right? Adam,
Have you eaten of that tree?
I don't think that's how he said it. I think it would have been, oh, Adam, did you eat of the tree? What did you do? I'm sure God's heart was broken because he knew the consequences of them, listen, stepping out of the will of God. In the same way in our life, he's warning us, you cannot love the worldly system and love God. The Father is not in both. He's in one. He's in his system. The godly system, right? And when she saw the fruit, that it was pleasant to the eyes, it was beautiful. Looked great, right? That it was pleasant to the taste and that it would make her wise, she sinned. When we make decisions in our lives, let God lead us and direct us. Am I doing this for me? Am I doing this for you, Lord? Because I don't know. And if I don't know, I'm not moving. I'm going to wait for the direction of the Lord to say, go, stop, or wait, right? The lust of the flesh, great to eat, delicious. The lust of the eyes, beautiful to the look. And it will make you wise, the pride of life. And Satan tripped her up, that she would be coming like God. And when she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, beautiful fruit, and pleasant to the taste, she ate. When Satan comes to Jesus, he commands these, he says, command these stones to be turned to bread, the lust of the flesh, right? Because he was hungry. And then he promises him, he says, the promise of all these kingdom world, the pride of life would be yours. Cast yourself down, and he will give you angels again, the pride of life, right? Do something spectacular. Draw attention to yourself. These are the areas that Satan attacks Jesus, and he's attacking you too, right? I'm not being noticed enough. I need to do something, right? No, relax. Be still. And know that, because you might get attention that you don't want. Now, today we're living in a day and an age where Satan continues attacking in these areas. Remember, it's a worldly system. It's a satanic worldly system. God is in total control, but he allows because the system is going away, right? We're living in a time and an age, it's called the church age, where God is not counting our sins against us, not punishing us now for our failures, right? But we're living in a time of grace, and he's calling all men unto himself. That time frame will close at the rapture of the church. When the last Gentile is saved, the church is raptured up into heaven with a shout, the trumpet shout. We will meet him in the clouds. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then those of us alive will rise to be with him forever, right? What happens here on earth? Man, I thank the Lord we're not going to be here. When we get into Revelation, we're going to talk about it. Horrific things. It is the judgment that will come down as things unfold, and we'll get into detail with that. But listen, everything turns to Israel at that point, the salvation of Israel. So it's not replacement theology, as we learned in the Catholic Church, that the church has replaced the Jew as God's favorite people. No, for a season they're blinded. We've been grafted in to the tree. We'll be taken away. Everything turns then to the nation of Israel. So we need to be wise in what Scripture says, not as the world says, because the world system, hates the Jew. And the Bible says that this little speck of land that you can barely see on a map is the trembling cup of the nations. Now, why would everybody be so worried about this little group of people and this little speck of the land? Because God said so. And the satanic system is against it. And we've watched our nation throughout time and throughout presidents begin to not outright say it at this point, but really walk away to some extent or another, in the defense, at least publicly, of the nation of Israel. Now, when we get into Ecclesiastes, I'm sorry, when we get into Ezekiel 38 and 39, where the nations come up against Israel, we're nowhere to be found, and no one steps up for Israel. What happened to us? Now, some of us could say, oh, I can't imagine, we'll sit back. Why could you imagine that? We've had Iranian boats buzz by us twice. You know, they should be like ants. We should have squashed them as soon as they tried this. But we didn't do anything, and so nobody fears us anymore. And now it's continuing. They've taken our sailors as prisoners. Are you kidding me? Has it happened? Yes. When? In our generation. Things are happening before us. We've never seen this before. Could you imagine? Other presidents allowing this to happen. But again, it's a worldly system, and these are the things that are going to happen. Is the world going to get better? Peace on earth? Goodwill to all men? No, it's not. Scripture tells us that. Are we to panic? Absolutely not. Absolutely. Don't panic at all. Here's what should happen. Turn the heat on. Turn the light of Christ on even more. And go out and witness to people. Because we don't know when the end times are coming. We don't know when. I mean, you could be called home today. I could be called home today. The rapture could come at the end of service, which would be great. We won't have to pay our mortgage bills, right? We don't know the time. But we want to be wise in Scripture. Iron sharp. We want to be sharp axes, right? So that when someone asks us, why do you go to church every day? You're not a dull axe. Well, I'm not sure. They got good music, you know. I hope that's not what you're saying. That's a dull axe, right? A sharp axe? Oh, I can't wait to get to church. Why? We're worshiping God Almighty. We're studying the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is empowering us and teaching us. And then when I head out to work the next day, I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm ready for the day's activity, for the week's concern. And you know what? It's difficult in the world, so I got to come on Wednesday too. Midweek, I need that refilling, right? I want to be powered by the Holy Spirit. I want to get in the Word. Why? Because everything draws us away. The worldly system wants to suck us in and distract us. There's nothing new under the sun for Satan. Absolutely nothing new. There was a time where we had, the horse that used to deliver the mail? Pony Express, right? You can instantaneously do an email today. But it's the same thing, right? We're delivering a message. There's nothing new under the sun. Sin is sin. It was sin back then. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Same thing. It may change forms and look different, but it's the same thing. You have nothing unique in your life. Absolutely nothing. Somebody's gone through it before, and Satan's tried it again, right? And so as we understand more about God, His unfolding plan for mankind, your mind is not going to be so much, listen, on the temporal, your pension plan, you're worried about finances and all that. No, your mind is going to be on the trust of the Lord. He's going to provide for you. And as it unfolds in your life, you're going to look back and say, now I know why. Now I know why. Listen, we wanted to call the head of FP&L and make a big scene about this because they wanted to charge us all this money. Right? We wanted to make it happen. I'm going to fix this, right? Give me that phone. That's how we feel in the fleshly man, right? The pride of life. Oh, I'm going to handle this. Wait a minute. God closed that door, and He closed it for a reason. Man, what a lesson we learn. And because we don't see it right away, we try to do all these things to figure it out and make it happen. I need to rest in God as He unfolds the plans for our lives, right? After I got saved, I had a lot of questions about the Lord, and I was asking people, hey, what about this? And they would make it up. You know when somebody's winging it, you know, no, that ain't it. And at the time, the pastor was pushing the Bible college, so I signed up to the Bible college. And I was working full-time as a policeman. My kids were young at the time. Things were difficult at home with two kids. They both were in, I don't know if they still were in diapers at the time, but I think they were. Both in high chairs for sure. And I'm going to school at night. Now listen, I have to confess to you, I had never read an entire book in my life. I was never a student. The reason why I graduated high school because I cheated off my wife. We were in one class. She got an A. I copied her paper. She got an A. Her friend got a B, and they gave me a C. It's the same paper, and we had the class at different hours, right? So that's, anyway. I never read a whole book in my life. So now, all right, Lord, I'm going to go to Bible college. I want to learn more about You. And they hand you three books as thick as this. Here, read these and do a paper on each one of them. And what is a semester, like 3.5 months? Here you go. You talk about a challenge, because I wasn't a reader. I hated reading. But God got me through it. And every day, Lord, You sent me to this, God. You have to get me through it. And it was a challenge, and a challenge. And so, you know, what happened when I want to serve the Lord? Work got harder. Things at home got difficult, right? Appliances break. Who's paying for that? You are. I got to work more hours to pay for that, right? So life is happening. Life is happening, but I want to serve the Lord, but things are more difficult. Why do you think they were more difficult? Because Satan wanted to distract. He wanted to draw me away from study of the Lord, the commitment to the Lord. And so I got so busy. I one of the semesters, I took like 3 classes. And then after, I was like, what am I, crazy? How can I do? So 3 classes, each book, it has a minimum of 2 books. And you had to listen to an entire audio teaching of the Bible from Chuck Smith. An entire Bible. Now you know how Chuck Smith talks so slow, right? How long do you think that's going to take you? So this is what I did. I bought because it was cassettes, I bought a cassette player at variable speed. Now, this is not a joke. This is true. And I turned the speed all the way up, and he sounded like a chipmunk. Came with me today in the Bible. We're going to study this. And my wife would walk in and say, what are you doing? How can you hear that? Oh, I can hear him just fine. So I would sit down on a Sunday. This is a true story. I would sit down on a Sunday after service, and I listen to like 5 tapes in half the time, right? And as he's talking like this, I'm taking notes, and I got every word. So then I couldn't listen to him at all in normal speed, right? Because it was just so slow. How was I getting through it? God was with me. So it took me like 1.5 years, seriously, because it was like 300 and something tapes. And you had to do a paper on each one, so you had to take notes in between. Now, Chaplain Dean Fleming's sitting back there smiling because he did the same thing. He was in Bible college with me. And so he knows. And so then I started taking like 1 semester because I got really busy and work got difficult. And I tell you all this to tell you this. God's going to get you through. Don't worry about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. God, we're on a whole different plane than the world. We are on a whole different plane of the world. We don't think like the world thinks. And so I started taking 1 semester, 1 class per semester. Then I even skipped a semester. It took me, listen, 6 years to get a 2-year associate's degree in theology. And all along the way, it was difficult. It was hard. But God was with me. And I would always say, Lord, you got to get me through this. If you're going to get me through it, I'll continue it. Right? And here, what is Satan saying all along the way? Who do you think you are? What are you kidding me? Forget about it. All these darts coming. Listen, we're no different. I'm no different than you. At the cross, we're all even. I may have a teaching position, but I go through what you go through every day. We all have different things in our lives, but there's nothing new under the sun. And here's what happened. I graduated. It's like, wow, thank you, Lord. And then after that, like, all right, now what? Why did I go through this? What do you want me to do? Lord, if you want me to teach, have somebody ask me, because I don't want to manipulate it. And I don't want to, because we could all manipulate, right? Pride of life. Hey, you know, you need me, right? We all know about the pride of life. So I said, Lord, if you want me to teach, have somebody ask me. And here's what happened. 2 weeks later, the pastor of the church that I live behind knocks on my door, and he says, hey, I'm going away and I have nobody filling for me. Can you teach? What? But that's the Lord facilitating and orchestrating his calling in my life. Was it easy? No, it wasn't easy. It was hard. It was hard. It was pressure. Things were difficult. And so let me backtrack. Halfway in the middle of that 6-year period, I get a call from the colonel. Hey, you've just been promoted. Well, I didn't take the test. I was getting wanded as a supervisor by the sheriff. And immediately the Holy Spirit gave me the power to decline on that. I said, I can't take this. I'm going to seminary school at night. Now's not the time. And then he tried to talk me into it, and I declined. What happened was the city of Pompano was in negotiations with the sheriff's office, or not the city of Pompano, city of Oakland Park, and the mayor was coming to my Bible study, and I introduced the mayor to the sheriff, and, you know, at the end of the day, he signed the contract for Oakland Park to be a contracted city with the Broward Sheriff's Office. And so with that, I got wanted a promotion. Well, it's significant money at the end of your career. It's 20% more. That's a lot of money. And so I declined it. How did I decline it? The Holy Spirit gave me the ability to do that, because all my friends are like, are you crazy? No, I'm not crazy. And here's why. Because God had me on this path, this way. And Satan had this big old carrot in front of me. Look at all this money you're going to make. You're going to be a supervisor. You're going to have power now. You're going to be somebody. Isn't that what he does? And it looks like it's from God. Well, only God could do that. Yes, only God. No, Satan could do that too, right? And so the Holy Spirit gave me the power to overcome. Listen, we're going to be challenged with the pride of life in many different areas in our lives. Do you always got to be right? Do you always got to be heard? Well, I'm sure at some point in my life I was one of those people. Oh, man, I have to have the last word to show you how right I am. But as we mature in the Spirit, wait a minute. We're not on the same page. You don't understand a little bit that I understand, so I'm just not going to go there right now, right? So as we enter into this worldly system, because we're all involved in it, right? We live in the worldly system. We work in the worldly system. We work for ungodly people in the worldly system. Why? Because God says to us that you are light of the world. Light of the world. You illuminate truth. You illuminate darkness in the world, and you're the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. Salt adds flavor. It creates thirst. Thirst for what? The living water. I was talking to Tony the other day. God has opened up some amazing doors with this man. And we reflect on who he was in his evil days and what God's doing in his life today. And I'm saying, you're a perfect example of salt getting out of the shaker. Because you're salt just sitting there, but you're not effective just sitting there if we're not affecting other people, right? Loving people. You could love somebody. That's effective salt. You could care for someone, right? That's salt being used. You're preserving. You're encouraging. You're adding flavor to the lives. You could pray for somebody. Listen, Andrew Culverwell played piano for us Wednesday after we closed. Andrew Culverwell, some of you don't know who he is if you don't come on Wednesday. This man has 9 top 10 albums in his day back in the early 80s. And he played in a stadium, baseball stadium in England in 1987 with 85,000 people there playing this music for Billy Graham to come up and sing. Amazing stuff happened in this life. Now, none of you would know that just sitting next to him. He looks normal like all of us, right? We all look, but you don't know. Now, his platform is not the same now as it was then. Does that mean he's ineffective? Absolutely not. His calling may be different now. He's ministering in another church. He's still serving the Lord. So your position, your platform, your calling may change, but you're still light, you're still salt. And God may bring you in a different area, a different place in your life. Could be a different job, could be a different division, could be a different location, no matter where you are. And you may say, man, I'm in misery at my job. I've been there before. I'm very familiar with working with people with egos and power. Power over you, because you're working for them, right? I've been there. And I've been in miserable places, and I've thrown my fist up in aggravation. But what I learned is that after I get over my pity party, God sent me here as an ambassador. And when we think that way, everything changes, right? Well, we hope. Not the situation, right? But our mindset now changes. Oh, I'm an ambassador here. I'm in enemy territory as an ambassador. And God is protecting me in enemy territory. And I'm there to be light. Light illuminates what you cannot see in the darkness. And listen, this is spiritual. Just you being there, there's a spiritual illumination. How do I know that? Because sometimes there's somebody just come right up to you. Oh, I got to talk to somebody. How did that happen? The Lord sent them to you. Well, the opposite could happen. There's conflict. You're light and he's not. And he's going to challenge you. I had that too. I've had a boss all over me, night and day, every time. So I'd get off at 5 o'clock. I'd get a call at 4:55. Now, I'd route myself back in the city where I live, certainly that I'd be home at 5 o'clock. He'd call me hey, I got something out in Pembroke Pines. You got to run out there. He did this 3 Fridays in a row. So then I showed up. So Pembroke Pines is an hour and a half from here at 5 o'clock, maybe 2 hours in traffic. And I go to the house and there's nobody there. He lied. He did this 3 weeks in a row. So on the fourth week, I showed up at his office at 5 minutes to 5. Hey, where are you sending me today? Because he knew I knew what was going on. But I've had those challenges that we're having. And listen, God knows them too. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Don't be distracted by the things around you. Because that is what the worldly system wants to do. It wants us to drag us in so that we are ineffective and unable to minister to people. Why? Well, you're all upset now. Who's going to listen to you, right? You've blown your testimony. You've just cursed everybody out. Now you're going to step up. Oh, I'm Mr. Christian. Listen to me. That's what Satan wants, right? He wants you to lose your testimony so nobody's going to listen to you. He wants you frustrated in your workplace. Now, I wasn't going here. The Lord just brought me to this whole topic. So the Lord's speaking to somebody in here, right? We're light and we're salt. We are ambassadors. We don't live here. Our home is in heaven. We're here for a season. We're here for an assignment. It is to make disciples, followers of Christ. Never forget that. Never forget. Because I'm not always, you know, turned on as an evangelist. Everywhere I go, I don't talk about Jesus. And I say that to say this. There are people that everybody they walk into, hey, Jesus loves you. Hey, Jesus loves you. And some of those are real super spiritual people, and everything they say is that. And I'm not one of those. But there's times that I should be, and I haven't been. And I need to be in tune to the Spirit and not myself. Because the times that I haven't been effective for the Lord, guess who I was thinking about? Me. I had me on my mind. I was so concerned about myself and what I'm going to do and what I'm going to get. And I missed the opportunity that God had for perhaps someone he set in my path. We spoke Sunday about Andrew doing the crosswalk and this young man that he interacted with him. He could have been worried about everything other than this young man, and he reached out to him and he says, hey, please, please, use the word please. This kid's probably never heard that word, please. Please get off your bike and walk it across for me. And the kid did that, and at the end of the day, he came back and says, oh, why did you say please? Nobody's talked to me like that. He just opened up an amazing opportunity to love on this kid where he may not have that anywhere else. But the crossing guard loves me. Why? He's a Christian. The crossing guard's a Christian. I can't wait to get to that corner every day. And how did he get there? He's an agent, secret service for the Lord. Secret service for, he's an ambassador for Christ. He's on a street corner. You might be in an executive office with coffee and secretaries and everything. Are you being a light? This is kind of convicting in all of our hearts, right? No matter where we are, God wants to use us. And so we won't be sharpened axes, sharpened tools, if we don't sharpen it, right? How does that happen? Get in the Word. Look at the Scriptures. Hold fast to the promises of God that you have all things, all the blessings in the heavenly places through Christ Jesus. All the blessings in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. That he is poured. He doesn't say sprinkled, right? He uses the word poured. He has poured his love into our hearts. He has given us wisdom by the power of the Spirit. And as we didn't get anywhere near where I was going today, so as we, God willing, next week get into this stuff, he's given us discernment of the Spirit. He's equipped us to be an agent. He didn't just send us out here and say, hey, go make disciples.
Well, what do I do?
Well, I don't know. I thought you were going to figure that out. No, he didn't do that. He's equipped us. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Because these are special tools that we've been given, spiritual tools of discernment, of wisdom, of understanding, of shutting our mouth. Right? I don't know why I'm looking at you, brother. Why do you feel guilty of me looking at you? He says, why are you looking at me? You feel guilty? And listen, in Proverbs, all kinds of problems. Shut your mouth. He doesn't say that. I said that. It speaks about taming the tongue. What you say, when you say it, how you say it, whether it's with a humble heart, okay? Because we want to look totally opposite of the worldly system. And the worldly system is anti-Christ. You have to know that. And how can light and darkness collabor together? They cannot. They cannot. Not that they may not or should not. They cannot. We cannot love the worldly system because the Father is not in it and say that we're Christians. And so I pray today, and can I encourage you today, that the words that were spoken today were totally of the Holy Spirit, because these are not my notes. So the Lord had something specific for you. God is, not that the notes are not of the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying that either, but this topic has come up. The Holy Spirit is equipping us to be His agents. Now we need to act upon that equipping. Amen?